When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hi, it's devout Catholic Mark Wahlberg. It's my pleasure to tell you that Hey Fam is proudly brought to you by the good folks at the Hallow app. Got a favorite psalm or want to say a prayer for the family of the Vietnamese veteran you violently blinded? Then the Hallow app is for you. For just $77 American a month, you can get connected with fellow-minded blessed folk and practice what you preach online. Who knows? Maybe I'll see you on there. Stay prayed up.
I was thinking we could... Sorry.
I already hit record. What were you thinking?
I've been
Don't censor it.
Deep. No, I'm not. I've been in a deep berg phase. Iceberg.
Iceberg lettuce?
Spielberg.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to rewatch every Steven Spielberg movie in chronological order.
I thought you said this during COVID, maybe.
I think I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you didn't follow through.
Well, now that I have heaps on, I'd like to do it to neglect.
Now that you can leave the house.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, now I needed 50 plus reasons. I think he's made like 50 films. I needed 50 plus reasons why. Because, man, fascinating, dude. I don't know if you know.
I really want to watch Fablemans.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't know if you know this, but he kind of invented the blockbuster with Jaws. He kind of made the summer blockbuster.
Yeah, that was like sick being at Universal Studios in Japan. And like, we've even talked about how weird Universal Studios is as a concept. Like, you go to Disney,
it's weird,
and everything's connected. Like, I feel like if you go to the American parks now, maybe it feels weird how there's like a Marvel bit and then there's Galaxy's Edge and shit like that. I love that. Like,
I guess if like you don't stay abreast of industry IP, you'd be like, you know what? It's even weirder, I think, in the 90s when they had like the MGM studios.
And well, then, I went in the 90s. I did that.
That to me is weirder.
But you're going to the movies. It wasn't like Magic Kingdom is like, so far away from MGM Studios. It's a bus ride away.
But I think in my head, it's like, now that 90% of the world is owned by Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do that. It makes more sense.
But Tokyo Disneyland, it doesn't feel too disjointed. Like, you go to Tomorrowland, which is all space themed. There's Star a Buzz Lightyear ride. And the Star Wars ride is there too. That makes sense. Universal Studios Japan is so fucking hodgepodge.
Dude, even Universal, I went to Orlando. Orlando.
Is that how you want to do that one?
Yeah, Orlando Bloom. Yeah. I went to his house. I went to the Orlando. How do you say Orlando?
Orlando.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's like a accent thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to the Orlando one.
Melbourne.
I normally say Orlando.
Melbourne
as
listeners,
well.
How do you say Orlando?
What's the weirdest thing is I normally say Orlando.
I know that. I know.
Orlando.
Orlando.
Alonzo. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what's going on in my head. Spielberg.
Yeah. How would he say it?
Well, all you could do is go to Orlando, but they have like, it is hodgepodge as hell. They'll have like, because a big part of the Disney theme parks is, and you know this, and any like grown adult loser like us knows, is especially Disney Sea, it's designed in a way where you can't see the other worlds from where you're standing.
Yes.
So like if you're in the like 1930s Prohibition era New York section, you can't see the Middle Eastern section.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's designed in a way so like the illusion is always working, which is great. Like, it uses forced perspective. Like, it uses really crazy tricks to kind of do a mundane thing. And even like Disneyland does that. Like, when you're in like the Pirates of the Caribbean area, you can't see, because I know a big part of it was like Walt Disney was like, I think he saw a cowboy walking through Tomorrowland one day, and that's when they invented all of the like underground passages.
Sure.
For all the cast members.
Yep.
And so he's big on like the original, it's in its DNA. But Universal, man, you'll be at like the Jurassic Park ride, and this is like 5 years ago, but then they've got a Hulk ride, and then like there's these zero connectivity.
Yeah, well,
it feels more like every other theme park that's not a Disney theme park.
Well, so they have like Nintendo Land and Harry Potter. though, or Wizarding World, you have to like go through a crazy entrance to get to those very separate feeling lands. But then you have like, yeah, like the Jaws ride is on its own, but that section has like, yeah, like the all the shacks from Jaws are in that section. But then that kind of feeds off into Jurassic World section. And those two kind of work together, like Big Shark, Big Dinosaur.
Put a Minority Report ride in there. You've got a Spielberg
But then there's a... like there's like a New York section, which is where like
that's
the Spider-Man.
My favorite part of every theme park.
Yeah, let's do New York.
Like, it's New York. Like, what? I'm walking
and
here.
And then the kids section, this is where it gets fucking so weird. So the Universal Kids properties are Hello Kitty, Snoopy, Sesame Street, and one other thing.
And I guarantee you that is probably only in Japan too, because different countries would have different access to these things.
There is a pink female Muppet called like Muppy or something like that.
Only in Japan.
And it only exists in Japan.
Yeah.
And you can get merch of her everywhere.
I know there's like a South African one that has AIDS. No, HIV positive. Like
I think they did an episode with that one.
No, but I think it was like they like maybe 20 years ago they started localizing certain Muppets.
Okay, sure.
So there's like... yeah, that's crazy. That's like the Duffy of Disney.
Minions. Too. Minions.
Oh, it's 90% Minions,
yeah.
Right?
So it's Minions, Sesame Street, Snoopy, and Hello Kitty is like the kids.
I reckon in 10 years time.
But those properties all do a dance numbers together.
Oh,
it's
okay.
So weird.
So it's like Space Jam 2.
Yeah,
it's like Ready Player One, to quote AR.
And it was Easter, so they were all wearing like Easter ears, bunny ears. And like giving Easter eggs to each other and doing dances.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
I think that in 10 years time, Universal will be rebranded as Minions World and make twice as much as money as Disney theme parks.
I mean, dude, no. Universal is the most packed it's ever been right at the moment.
Of course, Nintendo.
Nintendo, yeah.
Well, the two biggest like films, animated films, are Minions and Nintendo and Mario now.
Man, if I was Nintendo, I'd be like, why the fuck didn't we just let someone bankroll our own theme park? Why do we piggyback off Universal?
That's the whole thing. That's the whole reason why the movie exists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the whole Universal. Yeah, I think when they were there like laying, planning the Nintendo world, that's where Shiggy and like Daddy Minion met and were chatting. And that's where like the idea of
It is going to expand.
They are now
somewhat.
Like embryonic. Like they need one another to survive. They're like parasitical relationship.
Yeah. But
I don't know why Nintendo make games anymore. They should just make movies.
No, you don't want that. Don't wish
no,
that
I don't want
the
that.
World.
Yeah, no, I don't want that.
I can't wait to play Everybody Want to Switch on Friday.
I think they're sending it. Are they sending it to you?
I'm not sure.
They invited me to the... Remember I sent you that email? They invited me to the Melbourne event. And then I wrote back being really sad that I couldn't make it because I'm not based...
Oh, dude, if that was in Sydney, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, same.
Like a proper launch event for...
Oh, for sure. That's
one
what
of
I meant.
The
I was like, how good would it be if you and I went? Like, recorded it. But they're sending me a code and I was like, at least we can play it that way. So none of us have to pay for it. I love that
Archie's
like...
Archie's keen as. He's asked me if it's come out yet like 3 times.
Well, if you don't get it, you and Archie should come over and play it.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'll bring my Switch over.
Yeah. Well, that is a lovely memory of you being over at my house when Archie was like 3.
And the Switch came
and
out.
And we were playing Everybody Want to Switch.
Oh, that's right.
And,
no, it's 1-2 Switch.
Sorry, 1-2
Switch
original.
Everybody.
Yeah. And he was playing the game where you got to eat sandwich.
Burger. Yeah. Damn, I can't wait to
relive that.
To not really. Yeah, I can't wait to figure out
where it's a hot dog this time.
The stock photography characters come from. I don't know who it's for, though. It is interesting they're letting you use a smartphone a la Jackbox games. And I think that's kind of like
Just Dance as well.
I think. What do you mean?
But
it's interesting to me that Nintendo are like, not like going, you need to buy a $20 controller to play.
Let's see what weird app they make us download for it.
Yeah, Todachi Life.
Tomodachi
Life.
No, what was the one that was Miitopia? No,
that's what I meant to say, because that was kind of a remake of Tomodachi Life.
Yeah, in a way.
While we're on Nintendo, did you see they're embracing the 21st century by allowing... this is kind of what we were saying last week, going, oh, do you think there's going to be a Switch successor? They mentioned this today. I'm not sure if it was part of like a... You know what it was? I think it was... to do with the Microsoft.
I heard this is actually quite an old article that they're quoting from.
Okay.
It's just,
Nintendo decided to let you keep... This is not breaking news, but they've said you're allowed to Your Nintendo login, and then your purchases will appear on a potential new
device.
Basically,
your library will potentially carry on to the next
which
one.
Xbox and Sony have been doing for about 20 years.
Yeah,
since
exactly.
the PlayStation
and it locks 3. You to the system. It makes you 10 times more likely to...
Oh, totally. I love when I fire up, because the good thing about having a Series 1X and a PS5 is there's no games on either console. So yeah, at least when you fire it up, you're under the guise that there is... You're like, oh man, I got heaps of games.
I made a video...
Look at this. It's Crashed 4.
I made a video about the Astrobot Nendoroid, which came out. And I just mentioned like the game that was on PlayStation 5 that kind of came with it, Astro's Playroom, and how it's like one of three games that I platinumed on PS5. But then I worked out that I haven't actually played anything on my PlayStation 5 since the One Piece game in January. Whoops.
Yeah, damn. Damn. Yeah.
Also, we need a new Astrobot game. That's the main point I want to make.
Yeah, the PS6.
Well, I mean, like, I bought a PSVR just to play the first one. I probably would buy a PSVR too.
Yeah, not like the craziest second. Thing you've done either.
No.
I played Resident Evil 3.
4.
4 remake. Unbelievable. And when I'm almost finished.
That's one of the bangers of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, I've almost 100%ed in my mind. Tears of the Kingdom, which is every shrine, every light route, every side mission.
Don't do the don't bother getting all the Koroks.
I don't do the Koroks. I'm fine like carrying around 12 weapons. You know what I mean? Like, it's only to expand your weapon slots, and
yeah.
I'm fine having like 12 or 13 shields weapons. Like, you don't need that many if you've got heaps of hearts, whatever. But I've done most side missions, everything, and then I'm finally gonna out FF16 baby.
Take out. I was gonna say that. Then I'm finally gonna take out Ganondorf in like three hits because you're so OP.
Oh, well, that's what's gonna happen. Yeah, that's what's gonna happen because you get a crazy OP armor set when you get all the shrines.
Nice.
Yeah, but I had a week off last week, and I'm like, ooh, gotta work on this film that I'm making. All this stuff. And I'd catch myself just...
The Flash 2.
This time it's flashier. And I just would catch myself in the depths. Just like, one more light route. And then it became... That was like kind of the most addictive I've been with a video game for quite some time.
That's
it
good
was
shit.
20 light routes per sesh. And then just maxing out batteries. And you're just like, man, I'm such a fucking loser.
That's me, like, but with collecting manga. Where it's like, oh, there's three more translated... Osamu Tezuka books that I don't own, and they're like, you know, however $100 each. I'm pretty close to the end, like having 100% completion.
Yeah, kind of the same, but also like I didn't even pay for Zelda, so I'm not spending any money on this addiction.
Man, I finished. I'm just reading his like most fucked up books. So like Osamu Tezuka, very famous for creating Astro Boy, Kimba, the White Lion, very like family friendly manga and then anime properties.
Really ugly looking dude according to his self-portrait as well.
Just a big bumpy nose.
Yeah, ugly.
I love it.
It's like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just...
But
I mean, if you have a negative connotation with the word ugly, that's on you, pal.
There was a movement of manga that was like reactionary to his manga.
Yeah.
It wasn't like wholesome, family friendly, called Gekiga. And it was about like, you know, pushing edgy themes, adult themes, sex, and then like taboo.
It's like that in Japan. Stuff. Like there's a black character that's like taboo.
From the Black Eyed Peas?
No, it's just like that's taboo for Japanese culture to have like a black leading character.
Oh, dude, there's...
Have someone not live with... Have a main character who doesn't live with their parents and is in their 30s.
So he was like, you know, very annoyed by these artists to begin with. And then not only decided to like, if you can't beat them, join them, just decided, fuck it, I'm going to be the most edgy Gekiga artist that there ever was. So I'm reading all these books now that he wrote in the 70s. I finished one this last week called Ayako, which I would definitely recommend. That one's actually good, but it is like about like, has like incest themes and child abuse throughout it.
Fanfic energy.
But then I read this one called Mu, which is spelt MW, and it's about like, what if there was the most fucked up guy? And
I'm listening. Yeah.
He is a bisexual. He came into contact with this chemical called Mu, was made by the government to use in the Vietnam War, and it killed everyone in this small town except two people. One, this the main character, the bad guy of this book, and then an older guy who becomes a priest. But the older guy like molests, or like kind of like basically like thinks this like he's like part of a gang and molests the main character. He's like a few years older than him. And then, but then it becomes like they enter a romance.
Every line you're saying, I'm the Vince McMahon meme.
Yes.
At the top, I'm just like the fucked guy. And then by the end of it, you're like molestation, pedophilia. And I'm like the glowing, screaming eyes. Damn.
So he's like a bisexual cross-dresser who kidnaps and kills women, then like dresses as them and steals money.
Oh, so anyone that's in our Discord.
Yeah.
And any then of the PayFam subscribers.
He, like, over the course of the book, he has sexual relations with a priest, a general, the general's wife, and a dog.
Like, does he even like writing this stuff?
It's just like, yeah, it's bestiality for a bit. That's, I mean, the thing is, besides all, like, there are so many eye rolling, like, are we really doing this?
Why is he fucking, how do you,
but what? Then the book, it's still like a captivating thriller.
How do you justify the dog fuck? I get everything else except the, like, obviously
it's bizarre. It's so weird.
But with the bestiality thing, I don't get,
it's not like you don't see him fucking the dog, but the dog, like, joins him in the bath and it's like, oh, you're licking me all over my body kind of thing.
Who's this for? I mean,
me.
Besides you, but yeah. That's disgusting.
But
I love it.
I'll lend it to you. It's great. But yeah, you can tell this book totally influenced Urasawa, who wrote Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can tell that he kind of took the core themes of this book and was like,
right,
what if we take out all the bullshit
and just make
and
it
just write a thriller about a guy being the most fucked up guy.
I mean, I'm still listening.
Wanting to take down the world when he dies.
I'm still listening. Hey, Kitty, what's up? Jump
Kitty
on.
Kitty Pride, what's going on? How old is she now?
14, man. She
Dude,
looks great.
She's sprightly.
She looks like a six-year-old. It's wild.
She's got crazy energy.
Yeah. I mean,
all those kittens you feed her.
She lives like a great life. She doesn't do anything. She lives by herself, essentially. Like, she just, she's like the DJ Khaled of Cats. She's kind of just, she's not the sharpest tool in the shed. She's iconic. She's body positive.
Yeah.
And she kind of just relaxes all day naked. And I'm sure if she could, she would have catchphrases. Man, how good was that headline I sent you today from 2015 when DJ Khaled was lost at sea?
Yeah, so like, we're going to do a Guy of the Year Watch update soon. And fucking,
I mean,
spoiler
alert, it's the same guy as last year.
It's fucking DJ Khaled.
He's
having
making
an
it
amazing
so
year.
Hard for us.
But now it's like we have to retroactively go back and go, oh no, DJ Khaled definitely was the Guy of the Year.
Raining since this podcast started,
too.
I think.
So the headline you're talking about is from 2015.
It was after he just got lost at sea and it said...
On his jet ski.
And he's, rather than like call help, rather than anything, he Snapchat the entire process. But I think the quote was if you got it, said water's black at night.
Says DJ Khaled scared shitless after getting lost at sea on a jet ski, water turns black at night.
Dude, that's such an amazing statement.
So yeah, maybe his Guy of the Year 2015, but I think we have to go back even further.
Oh yeah, this was a great one you dropped.
So all the way back to maybe the year 2000 2001. Yeah. Because someone called Jan on Twitter wrote, today I found out that DJ Khaled went by the name of Arab Attack.
That's huge.
But he changed his name after 9/11.
I reckon if you yell it out to him, he'd look at you like real ones.
He'd throw his shirt at you.
Yeah, yeah. He'd look at you like real ones. Bring out the whole tower.
Bring out the whole Pentagon.
Damn, what a guy.
Yeah,
he's
the
so
best.
Good. If you guys need some entertainment besides his podcast, just jump onto his Instagram.
I can't imagine why.
I don't know why, but jump on his Instagram and just watch him reading Drake's new book of poetry.
Yeah, I'll never read Drake's book. I will watch that video of Khaled reading.
I'll never read. I only will listen to DJ Khaled reading things.
We know you don't read.
I'm reading.
You read books that are like, movies are good.
Well, it's funny you say that. I'm reading Easy Riders and Raging Bulls at the moment.
Yeah.
That famous history of the
70s. I read books that are the pictures of people gambling.
Pictures of people gambling or people fucking dogs. Yeah, and I read the books that cover 7 years of filmmaking that star the same filmmakers that are just like, here's how Martin Scorsese and George Lucas met. Isn't
wasn't
that crazy?
Wasn't it cool how they made a movie?
Weren't movies better back then? And I'm ready to go, yeah, that's right. It's true, though. Yeah, I don't read anything else.
My favorite, Khaled.
I find fiction so hard at the moment. I'm going to get out of it. I'm just a very... Well,
this is me with movies at the moment.
Yeah, sure.
Well, no, specifically blockbusters.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it because I've been having like a real go of it. Like, yeah, like you said, how good is it that we're recording on Wednesday night this week? Because that means that we don't have to like feel the pressure of...
Secret Invasion.
Do we watch Secret Invasion? But I'm like, I think I've turned a page. Like, I have had like this epiphany moment where not only do I not want to watch any MCU content moving forward, I want to Eternal Sunshine myself and have all memories of the MCU wiped from my brain.
Imagine if like imagine a world. Imagine if like Iron Man 1 flopped and then nothing happened, and yeah, it was just one of those like movies.
Oh, no,
that,
oh, that's the beach scene where it's like, oh no, I want to keep this.
Yeah,
Iron Man 1.
But it's like, imagine if that happened and then like it was lumped into like the Daredevils and Electras and those.
Yeah, right.
And it was just like, oh, remember Robert Downey Jr.? Remember
fucking superhero movies? What
remember
were they
that
thinking?
Jarvis guy? Like, remember Terrence Howard? He was great. And then yeah, it launched in another universe. Like Terrence Howard is this like insane person. He was Oscar nominated actually before that, which yeah, is very funny. Considering he doesn't believe in the number zero, or he doesn't believe in like the like zero as a concept. Remember, he's like, zero doesn't exist, and I with this information, I'll have flying cars. You know, just like that super cool shit that very famous.
That rocks.
That once you get a certain amount of money, you either just go DJ Khaled or you go Terrence Howard.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no in between. But yeah, it's I have no desire to watch Secret Invasion, and it feels good.
Yeah, but like everything that like, okay, so we're talking about Indiana Jones tonight, right?
Oh, I thought you meant right now. Yeah, sure.
At some point tonight. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
So last week was when we thought it was coming out.
Yeah, because there was a premiere here and I just assumed it was like 2 days before its release.
It got to Thursday.
And then we were
and I was like, man, I don't think I can muster the fucking energy to go watch Indiana Jones.
And I'm like, good news.
That shit is fucking an hour 60. Like it's like 158 minutes. Yeah. 158 minutes. An hour 60.
They call that 2 hours. a gentleman's 2 hours, as I like to call it.
And then you were like, oh, it actually comes out next week. Yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God. And then it got to like today and I was like,
damn,
I don't want to fucking see Indiana Jones. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll make myself feel, because I just like, I hate Disney at the moment.
Sure.
Especially because like, so,
which is so funny considering you just like had a great time at a Disney park.
Well, I mean, there's Disney that I like and Disney that I hate.
Well, there's so much of it now that, yeah, that's a
and
very...
I had strong feelings for good Disney this week because last week I had to, in between Hey Fam and Pay Fam, I had to rush to my kids' school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Tilly was sick. Turns out influenza A.
Yeah, wow.
Which I blame you. Influenza Angus. I feel like...
I have had swine flu, so perhaps it's a carry on from that.
She lost her voice and
every day
just can't talk. Dude, our house is so quiet. The only thing I hear...
Is she the loudest in the house?
Yeah, yeah, by far. The only thing I hear is Archie asking if he can play fucking Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Like 24 hours.
You're like, no, but if you're bad, I'm going to let you go home from school early again. Yeah. He was so bummed.
He was so annoyed.
That was so funny. I was like, yeah, it was like in 21 Jump Street when they learn the kids like the environment now. And remember how they're like, yeah, yeah, when they go back to school and all the kids are like sensible. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, so, what the hell happened?
So Archie was like, Dad, I missed health today. I'm like, who gives a fuck
about
health?
Yeah, yeah, dude. When I was Archie's age, I was like, I don't know, not caring about health.
Yeah.
How old is he? 10.
Nine.
Okay.
Almost 10. So
actually, I've got a great story quickly about my dad pulling me out of school when I was...
Shout out your dad. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. When I was 8, my dad pulled me out of school early. Funny thing was, he was also a teacher at the school, so we could go watch a 3:30 session of Die Hard with a Vengeance.
That rocks.
And I mean, I learned a lot about that things that day. I learned a word. And it's the first Die Hard movie I saw. I don't know why he pulled me out to watch it. But he's like, let's leave school early. And we went straight to Warawan.
I just realized what word.
Well, yeah. I was like... Man, imagine being
eight. The word was vengeance.
Imagine being 8 and just like seeing that and being like, what the fuck? I think it was my first Samuel L. Jackson movie. It was definitely my first Jeremy Irons. Oh, no. I hadn't even seen The Lion King.
Every
yet.
Kid remembers their first Jeremy Irons movie.
Well, usually it's usually The Lion King, right? Yeah. This was it before The Lion King. And that's twisted. I don't know how that was allowed to happen. But I also like was into it. That was better than health. And I learned more from that movie. Although it's very bad to walk down Harlem wearing racial propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's all.
That's kind of all I learned.
Mm. Important life lesson. Tilly has been at home with me every day this week.
I see you playing Animal Crossing all the time. So I assume that's her.
Yeah. So we're building houses in Happy Home Paradise.
Sure.
Great fun. They just announced a new Hello Kitty and Friends game coming
out. I was wondering
Apple
when
Arcade
this would come up.
Yeah. In a month. It looks so fucking good.
If you're into that, it looks like perfect. Like if it was an Evangelion one, I'd be like, this is the best thing ever. And then I know it wouldn't be, but when something's like branded to the T and you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, it's like, it's a dumb game that my kids can play that has all the San Diego characters in
it. It's very good to have kids because you've got that great excuse for, like, a lot of the...
Oh, dude, that's like my life
the
now.
Worst things that you and I could be into. When I do it, I'm just like, this is so fucking pathetic.
Dude, I'll make like a 2-minute video about, like, here's all the Hello Kitty things I own. And I feel like in the first, like, 30 seconds, everyone's like, who is this pedo? And then I mentioned that I've got kids and like, oh, don't worry. I'm just cancel the call. Don't worry about
I'm
it, everyone.
I'm going to comment that on every single
Who is this pedo?
I changed my TikTok name from Angus Truscott Official because I don't have any content.
To what? Wahlberg
is Official.
Amazing, great.
Just like, man, they haven't reserved it anyway. Should I take it on Instagram? Should I finally change it from Chimichangas to Wahlberg is Official? It's pretty funny.
What about Angus Wahlberg?
No, that's not good.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. People might say, whoa, did he marry Ian?
No, Mark Truscott. Yeah. Oh, that's my cousin's name, actually. Mark marries me. No, I don't want to keep them different for different platforms. Okay. That's fine. But yeah, I was like, man, how is Wahlberg's Official not taken on TikTok?
Yeah, you've got it on a few things. I mean, it's pretty like...
I have it on PSN.
It's
Discord.
Unsurprising that that's not been taken on PSN.
It's unsurprising that at Wahlberg's HQ that like reserving usernames isn't at the top of there.
I bet you can't get it on the F45 challenge app.
Oh, you know, that's... Yeah. Or like any... Or the municipal social app.
His reels have gotten even more to the point.
It's just straight up sucks.
No. He's prayed up. Oh, it's just as him
leaving.
There'll be a cross and he'll just look at the camera and be like, stay prayed up.
And it's like,
and walk off. It's like, that's 3 seconds.
Imagine being the guy that gets to film those for him. That'd be so unreal.
They should get an Oscar.
I know, seriously. It's so sick.
Best cinematography.
But yeah, that's coming out to Apple Arcade, right?
Yeah, it's called... what's crazy about it, and the reason I bring it up, is that it's called Hello Kitty's Island Adventure. 13 years ago... South Park did an episode about World of Warcraft.
Yeah. And, of course, they worked with Blizzard. They had the animation from the video game.
And
oh, is that what Butters is trying to play? Right.
So Cartman goes like they're having a big like meeting, so they can beat
like
the guy,
basement
the rival player.
Yeah.
And Butters goes, "What's World of Warcraft?" And then Cartman's like, "What the hell, Butters? You said you play your computer all day. And he goes, "Yeah, but I'm playing Hello Kitty on Adventures.
Yeah.
That game didn't exist back then. And now it does.
South Park did it first.
That's so weird, though, that like no one at Sanrio was like,
let's check.
Yeah, let's check. Or they're like, it's a bit. Fuck yeah, let's just lean into it.
SEO is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's really funny. Butters worked this game into existence.
Yeah. So that comes out in a month exactly. Very excited for that.
Wow. Yeah, that's exciting for you.
On Apple Arcade. Tilly wrote down a list of things that she wanted to do on Monday. Mm. And one of them was watch Toy Story.
Oh, wow. Now that the movie hater is in school.
But like, so we would watch movies in the past and then Archie would have his freak out moment when like, you know, one of them had to...
I don't want to play
with
you.
Or like, a character's shoelace would get untied or something. Yeah. Like, fuck movies.
Or where Tintin curb stomped. One of the Thompson twins and said, don't make me do it to you too, motherfucker, to the other one.
So funny that there's the 80s pop group, the Thompson twins, and never mentioned Tintin at any point.
It's a hard word to rhyme.
Hold me now. Oh,
I mean, they are called that because of Hergé's Tintin, are they? I'd imagine so.
That's something to find out for another day.
Thompson twins are like...
We'll put our top researchers on it.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And normally like Tilly will like last another 5 minutes and then go like, you know what? Archie's like getting heaps of attention for his outburst. I'm going to have an outburst too.
And the best thing is, she can't talk, then you can't even hear it.
No, but this time she was just like, oh, I just want to watch Toy Story. And she was a bit trepidatious watching the movie because her biggest fear was that they were going to get caught by humans. And I was like, oh, Tilly, that's actually not something you need to worry about in these movies. They never get caught.
Guess what? There's three more.
Yeah.
And they ain't getting caught.
I don't know what she thought was going to happen either. But like, yeah, that's all she cared about with it. So we watched Toy Story 1.
Maybe it created like this existential crisis for her. Like if she went into her room.
Yeah, okay, sure.
And saw her toys alive.
Possibly.
And now a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks. And this is a great deal.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We watched Toy Story the First, which is a
great
movie.
Famously called Toy Story the First.
Yeah. Great movie in spite of looking fucking dog shit by today's standards.
I mean, it's got that PS1 aesthetic that I love so much. And also at the time it was like, you know, it's like when you go back and watch like old, not, I'm not talking like Snow White, well, yeah, which looks beautiful, but yeah, I mean, yeah, like it's like going back and watching anything old. It's like rudimentary.
It's, well, I mean, the character models for the most part look pretty good. It's whenever there's just this really sparse background.
Yeah.
With just like
very,
a cube in it.
Like, yeah. And yeah, it's like back then, yes, imagination was kind of the limit of 2D animation, but literally like CPU and memory was like, you know, at the limit of this, like, yeah, it's just like real sparse.
Yeah,
flat.
So we finish,
and obviously every time a human enters, it's like mortifying.
Yeah, of men, they're terrifying.
And compare the dog.
The dog
and
is so
from Toy
disgusting.
Story 4, which yeah, like yeah, looks exactly like Kitty. Like,
so
just
we finish Toy Story 1, and straight away she goes, "Can we watch Toy Story 2?"
And you're like, "No."
I was like,
"We're gonna watch the movie that
oh yeah,
inspired
well, no,
the
time.
Toy." No,
no. Now that,
I'll
now
do
that
one
you,
better.
Now that you finally settled down and started watching movies with me, it's time to stop that forever by subjecting you to the worst movie of 2022.
Do you ever wonder why watching that, honey, what Andy's favorite movie was? No. Well, I'm glad you did, because certain filmmakers also thought that.
That would be so fucking mean. I love it. Like, let's watch. But to be like, now it's really, really important that you know
yeah,
that this was Andy, the boy from... Well, she
and just keep showing the models and being like, doesn't he look exactly like the toy? And she's like, no. And you're like, yes, it does.
Well, the movie ended and she was like, Dad, who's Andy?
You're like, you idiot. Were you even watching the movie? Literally like the second person in the frame.
I think because they look kind of similar from a character model point of view.
Sure.
She thought Sid and Andy were the same character.
That's twisted. That's insane. That's like thinking like Han Solo and Luke Skywalker were the same character in Star Wars.
Do you know that in Disneyland in the late 90s, you could go and design a fucked up toy at
like, oh, called, sure, like the Andy
Sid,
dolls.
Sid, but it was like Sid's workshop.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
That's sick.
And you it would
you get like a broken hair.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
That should be a thing everywhere.
That's so metal. That's like the most metal that like Disney ever got.
Anyway, we straight away watched Toy Story 2, the glow up.
Did you explain how those toys that are like messed up, they're kind of like what John Lasseter's victims who were probably animating this movie felt like? You're like, that's a metaphor for the...
No, I strategically put tape over the...
the words Lasseter.
Whenever I watched ahead, whenever the Lasseter showed up.
I just put tape over the L, so his name... It says John Ass-Eater, and that's how I win against abuse.
The glow up in animation from Toy Story 1 to 2 is insane.
Also, Wayne Knight... toy collector looks exactly like John Lasseter, right? Essentially.
Yeah. But also like that move, like Toy Story 2 is far and away the best one to me.
Hands down.
It's
I think
so
we said
good.
I think we like, went through it recently and I was like, 2 is for me. It is that rare sequel that is like there's only like 5 sequels in the world that you could file this under where it heightens, it doesn't betray the first, but it is such a beautiful movie because it plays with like the lore. It doesn't try to recreate the first film.
It gives every character from the first movie yeah, something to do.
It subverts stuff that the first movie did. You
and
know?
Then it introduces...
Like it's Buzz rescuing Woody. That's yeah, that's already great.
It
that's
introduces like, three extra characters in... Or, and Wheezy, I guess. So four kind of main-ish extra characters.
Mm. Yes, little Wayne's in it.
Yeah. Has someone done that again? Like,
of course they have. Yeah,
like
yeah,
someone
yeah,
they go, Wheezy, and then they sit like...
Yeah. I've seen it. It's a video and he's like turned when he sings it. You know how he sings at the end?
Oh yeah, great.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. I think he turned around and does like a milli or something.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's
all the toys are just losing it.
But then, like, you know, yeah, Bullseye and Jesse. Jesse's such a good character. Joan Cusack's voice performance.
Bullseye, one of the great silent characters of cinema, hands down.
I love that he has like a standoff with Slinky Dog when they first meet. Like, and then Stinky Pete, such a good villain.
Kelsey Grammer.
Yep. And then Wayne Knight, also a villain. Like, who's brilliant. So good. Al, yeah. Draw that man in a chicken costume.
Yeah.
Oh, and just the intro, like, you know, great intro. The video game, and like
shooting the crystal. But Tilly was
like, "What?" When Buzz gets shot, like she totally bought that. Like,
you like
Buzz had been destroyed.
Well, you know what that is? That's her. We can fix this. That's her lack of film literacy.
That's true. But yeah, Toy Story 2, incredible. And I was just thinking about like, oh man, this is the best shit. Tomorrow we're gonna watch Monsters Inc., which is good. Probably my favorite Pixar movie.
I still don't know what mine is. Mine could be Toy Story 2 or Wall-E.
Yep.
I'm such a Wall-E head.
Wall-E rocks.
I think that's just like transcends.
Archie would love Wall-E because it's about a robot.
Now there's humans in it he would feel sad about.
Yeah, they're gross.
Yeah, yeah. He'd feel sad about that. He'd probably be into their lifestyle though because it's so like mathematical.
Well, he watched Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, that's really funny because you know what I started watching that I'm like, I've got to tell you to watch.
Emperor's New Groove, the TV series?
No, Kronk's New Groove. No, Kronk's what's is that the sequel?
No, they made a series. I think it's made a sequel song. Yeah, yeah.
The Sweatbox. Have you ever watched it?
No, what's up?
So you do know about, this is so funny, there's been so much about Disney. Do you know about the Emperor's New Groove, like its production history?
Like, I know that like they tried to make it, like it was meant to be...
Kingdom of the Sun.
And Sting.
Sting was doing the soundtrack. Yeah. It was like by the director of The Lion King. It was being developed immediately afterwards. So this is a documentary that like Disney don't want you to see.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sting's wife made it.
Amazing.
And it basically follows the entire production. So I got halfway through it just because you have to watch it on like Wayback Machine or Internet Archive.
Someone from our Discord find it and put it on the PayFam.
Yeah, I mean, I was just watching on my iPad in bed. It's great. So just like the director working on it for 3 years, Owen Wilson, David Spade. It's like half the original cast. It was a very different story, far more serious, far more like Lion King-esque. It dealt with like a Prince and the Pauper subplot. It still had the llama transformation. Characters were completely different. But then it's like halfway through, they pitch it and then they're just like, nah, it's not good. And then they have to rework it. The director leaves, the director of The Lion King. And then they strip it down to be like a really simplistic, cheap. And I don't mean cheap in the way it's told, but like literally cheap.
There's no big musical numbers. It's
stripped back and they're just like, let's turn it.
It's a gag.
You have to make it's slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
And they retained a few of the cast members. I think just Eartha Kitt and David Spade, no one else. But you see like Owen Wilson in the booth. He played a lookalike to the Emperor and then they switched roles. Like it was supposed to be this big grand thing. And they went to like Peru and Incan ruins and were like doing all this research. And this guy is just like devastated. He's just like, this has been 4 years of my life. And it's just brutal. And it can probably tie into what we're talking about because it's a guy who made The Lion King and he can't even get this movie approved.
Yeah.
That's pretty insane. And then Sting's in it and he's like really good in it. Like I'm not a big Sting or Police fan, but he's like writing songs and he's like, this is really difficult. Normally I can just write whatever, but then like he's working with storytellers. It's really fascinating. But it's just like, rather, you know, this pitch isn't just like story outline they've come up with in a week and pitch it. It's 3 years of them like developing it, recording all the voices, and they show like a rough cut to like the execs and they're like, yeah, nah, this isn't good. And then I guess I'm up to the bit. I'm not up to this bit yet. I had to pause it because I was like quite tired. So don't start something at like 11 p.m. Like it's such a dumb thing, especially something.
Oh, dude, I remember like when I was like in my 20s, I would be like
just falling asleep.
It'd be like 3 a.m. and I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna start Freaks and Geeks.
Just stupid
watch
behavior.
The first episode and then be like, I watch the next three too. It's insane. And then the sun comes up.
Yeah, don't do that. But I think now I'm up to the bit where the director leaves and it's retooled as Emperor's New Groove.
Crazy.
That was a weird sideline, but what did Archie think of it?
Loved it. That was super funny. Loves Kronk. And I'm like, he's actually the voice of...
John Goodman. Is that John Goodman?
No, it's Putty. It's Patrick Warburton.
Who's John Goodman in it? Is he in it?
He's like the big guy with
Puncho
with the
or
red
something?
Hat. Yeah, yeah.
So that was originally Owen Wilson and he looked like the Emperor.
Right. No, Kronk or whatever his name
That's
is.
That's right. He's like the right-hand man.
Of Eartha Kitt. Yeah. Yeah.
Putty. I love that he will always be Putty despite being
Brock Samson to me, but yeah.
He's Putty. Come on. The tick.
That's how I got B to watch Venture Brothers with me when we first started dating.
It's Putty.
Because she was a massive Seinfeld stan. And I was like, oh, he's the voice of my one of my favorite cartoon characters.
Putty, one of the great late entries to Seinfeld.
Yeah, definitely.
Who still like holds his own well among
well, I mean, I feel like when we were peak Seinfeld age were those last few seasons anyway.
So, dude, I started watching in 93. Summer of 93, I can remember it.
When did it stop?
98. I watched it like season two onwards when it used to be on Channel 9.
I guess I would be 94.
Before it switched channel Channel 9 dumped it. They're like, no one's watching this. It was summer ratings. And then they're like, no one's watching this. And then 10 picked it up and it became like, what, four times a day. It was either Seinfeld or The Simpsons.
That's what I mean. As soon as it was paired with The Simpsons, that's when I started watching it. Mm.
No, I was in before. I loved it.
Yeah. Good shit.
Was into Roseanne though. It used to play back to back on Channel 9.
I watched a shitload of Roseanne too.
I never watched it.
John Goodman, baby.
John Greatman, I'd like to call him. As you know, and I've said, I was more Eli. I shouldn't compare the two, but I was more of a Married with Children fan. That was.
I also love that.
That's where I got my working middle class suburban.
I think I just watched every sitcom when I was a kid.
I did too. I remember like I'd be like, oh, I got to get home, and it's like, why? Also, I'm seven, so of course I'm home. But it's like, got to watch Step by Step, Perfect Strangers, Strangers. What was this Steve Urkel one?
No. So this is it was Sunday nights. It would go.
This was weeknights for me.
There was a string Sunday of four like sitcoms in a row. So first it was Full House. Then it was Step by Step.
Home Improvement.
Then it was Home Improvement. Then it was Family Matters.
What? So Family Matters was Steve, wasn't it?
Yeah, Steve Urkel. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's a crazy awesome foursome. Yeah.
That's insane.
Step by step, day by day.
And it was essentially just
It was like Brady Bunch.
San Francisco
kind of vibe.
Brady Bunch, wasn't it? Yeah. And the fucking dad's dead. That's so sad.
Of the Brady Bunch?
Maybe. I mean, step by step too, yeah. And he was great. He's like in a great Tim and Eric sketch. He's selling a Cinco product.
Man, banger show. It's alarming to me when you think about how many...
God damn it, Steve!
How many shows I watched when I was like nine that were just like a girl working at a magazine.
Yeah, and it was like Caroline in the City, Just Shoot Me. The Sybil Show.
Oh my god, Murphy Brown.
The Naked Truth.
Is Murphy Brown? Or Murphy Brown's
a news.
News, right?
But yeah, that was just like
Naked Truth. Fuck yep.
Taylor Leone.
And then I feel like Ned and Stacey. One of them worked at a magazine as well.
And it was shows that had two sets. It was like The Apartment.
Yeah. And then the workplace.
And then The Workplace.
And it always had like there was always like a Mr. Show alumni would be in one season for a bit. And like, yeah, when I finally started watching Good Shit, I was like, hey,
I know that.
That's from season two of Caroline in the City.
Yeah. What was Judd Judd Nelson in? He was in like one of these.
News Radio? Is that? That had a crazy cast.
News Radio has a psycho cast.
Joe Rogan's
in it.
Steven Root, Joe Rogan. Andy Dick.
Dave Foley.
Foley. Yeah,
Phil Hartman, R.I.P.
Phil Hartman, of course. Damn, that's a crazy cast.
It's an insane cast. Yeah, fucking Joe Rogan's in it. I think only for like one or two episodes or early season he was replaced.
Was he?
Yeah.
For he's smoking too much weed.
He's the most successful person.
That's so fuck.
Imagine if we lived in a world where Joe Rogan's wife murdered him and Phil Hartman was still alive.
Bro.
I don't think Elon would be owning Twitter right now.
I was thinking, who are the three biggest losers in the world?
Elon Musk.
Elon, number one with a bullet. And then I would say, like J.K. Rowling is pretty high up there. Does anyone rich that is...
Not even a loser. She's just like evil. I mean, I guess is like Elon Musk. But he comes across... He's more of a loser to me.
Yep.
Where she's like...
Elon's such a
The thing with Elon
loser.
Is he doesn't show intelligence ever. And the things with J.K. Rowling, her works have shown... intelligence.
Yeah.
Like her things are, you know, her books are about like standing up against prejudiced people, tolerance, different. And so like it's worth, like that's why she's evil because we know she knew better.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah,
to me that makes him, like if you, she's smarter, therefore
and
more
she
evil.
Could write and finish a book. Elon definitely couldn't do that.
Oh, God, no. Elon Musk is just, he's a loser.
Mm.
I don't know who else.
We'll have to do a loser of the year, guy of the year, and a
loser of
the year.
I think it's only fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anyone else. Elon is like definitely taking the cake.
Yep.
Or as Azalea Banks likes to call him, Apartheid Clyde. Still one of the best.
But yeah, loving watching Toy Story this week with Tilly. Like having a great time thinking about other Pixar movies to watch while eating popcorn. How good is just making popcorn on the stove?
Dude, it's so good. Pop, 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 that sound.
Yeah, so good news.
I'm going to be eating a bucket tomorrow.
You feel like a scientist. I am, break this news. Tell everybody.
I'm watching Dead Reckoning Part 1 tomorrow night.
And then what are you doing on Monday night, Angus?
Watching Dead Reckoning Part 1, red carpet, Tom Cruise.
You going to wear a suit?
Yeah, it's Cocktail.
That's amazing. Great Tom Cruise movie.
I've got the record right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm interviewing some of the cast on Sunday. So I've got to see it before that, else no interview.
Yeah.
So they're dragging me to the to an unlisted preview tomorrow night, which I'm so amped. I've watched every... I've still got an hour left to Fallout. I'm going to watch it when you go. Just
you've got to see Henry Cavill take a hook to the head.
I've seen him load his arms.
Oh God, that's the best scene.
I just had the scene where they figure out, and the turning point is so good. It's like an hour, maybe an hour to go, where they fake, like Alec Baldwin. Everyone is just like, they figured out that he's John Locke, the guy that's like behind it all, and they set him up by pretending to do a face swap. Remember, it's like a scene in like the sewers, and it's like, it's so fucking good, man. This movie is insane. Fallout is like perfect.
Fallout's my favorite.
Dude, it is so good. Everyone is firing on all cylinders.
But that makes me so worried for the next one.
You can't trust the internet, but the buzz is so fucking big. I saw someone today say it's the best action movie of the last decade.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I saw negative ones from people that I like, you know, have trusted opinions from in the past.
Okay.
Very few people have seen it so far.
I saw one today that said it's the greatest like action
film. I saw someone say I left feeling not quite as bad as I did leaving Fast 10, but it wasn't too dissimilar a feeling. And I was like, wow. Oh no, that really spoke to me.
Fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean,
I mean, the cast, just the, like, you could knock down my Mount Rushmore and just put the four female cast members in Dead Reckoning in there. Hayley Atwell, Rebecca Ferguson, Pom, and fucking,
I'm interviewing Pom and Hayley.
And Vanessa Kirby.
I'm interviewing her as well.
I'm so jealous.
And Simon Pegg.
That's sick. You've got to ask her what her favorite Kirby game is.
so good. Dreamland
You'll
or...
You'll get fired straight away.
Dreamland or Forgotten Realm. Pom. Okay. What is that? What is that, French?
I will give you, I'm no joke, I will give you $200
cash. Vanessa Kirby.
If you ask Vanessa Kirby what her favorite Kirby game is.
Seriously. Okay. I'll see how liquid I am before I go in.
No, you don't have to give me anything.
No, I mean, I just want to see if I need the money.
Yeah, all right, sure.
I don't know what to ask Simon Pegg. Just like, so do you have a Simon Pegg?
What?
I don't know. Do you ever sigh while man pegs? I don't know. Just like playing with his name. I'm playing with people's names now.
Bear man pig, Simon pig, peg.
No, I meant like sighing, like someone sighing because they're being pegged.
I'm riffing too. Isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah, just different.
Just two cool riffs.
Just two different.
Yours was not good either.
Mine was like, when I explained it to you for the eighth time, it worked. Mine, we're riffing, but we're just two different.
Ask Simon Pegg, when are we getting Paul 2?
Honestly, man, I was thinking about Paul the other day because I was thinking about Seth Rogen films.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn. No, you know what? I was thinking about The Adventures of Tintin, and then I just got thinking about
Nick Frost. Rocks in that. Thompson Twins.
Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
80s. Ask him if the Thompson Twins, the band, were named after the Thompson Twins from Tintin.
Oh, literally only ask him Tintin questions. Yeah, great. And I'm going to ask Pom only Guardians Christmas special questions.
That's great.
I was like, so what'd you think? Did you actually meet Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, what's Kevin Bacon really like?
Do you have Disney Plus? Or do they like send it to you to watch?
So is it, it's just the three girls?
Three girls and Simon Pegg.
And Simon
At
Pegg,
one point it's going to be Chris McQuarrie.
Imagine Ving Rhames was there, dude.
I'd go in with 10 hats and just keep changing them for each question. I'd be like, sorry, I'm just going to, okay, Ving, yeah, man, no, he's not coming.
Imagine if Alec Baldwin was there. I know he's not in these anymore.
He's not in, but he also hates flying.
Oh, yeah. Alec Baldwin.
His Instagram is, man, it's maybe guy of the year nominee.
He should not be allowed to have social media. Like, I don't feel like
guns. But
he keeps fucking posting. It's crazy,
dude.
And then the most milquetoast, like weird.
He's like, I love my wife, Valeria. That's like half of them. And the other ones are just like, I've been on this plane for 6 hours and we haven't taken off yet.
Yeah,
and
he's like, American Airlines are a joke.
Lemon America. Like, he's insane. I reckon he is like this close to like checking into a mental institution. Like, I think the mental stress that he's been under for like since like murking that woman,
rusting that woman,
ever since icing that woman on set.
Isn't that what the movie's called? Rust.
Oh yeah. Ever since, defining, adding a new definition to rust. I mean, RIP. That sucks. But I think I was with someone recently and they're like, oh, poor Alec, he's been through so much. I was like,
he's fucking
he killed a woman. Like, yeah. I think her family is pretty sad too. Alec Baldwin looks dead on the side. Have you seen like his Instagram where it's just him like hugging his 10 children? Well, when I say hugging, he's sitting at a table while 10 of them are crawling all over him and he just looks like he wants to kill himself.
Whose children are these, Lemon?
I love all my children so much. Oh, so much.
So yeah, last week, very relieved that I didn't have to see Indiana Jones. That's what
we're talking about.
Yeah. This week.
Oh, so you didn't watch four in one day?
No, I didn't watch four Indiana Joneses in one
Someone,
day.
Someone, a friend of the show, Lee Tran Lam, messaged me. I was just like, it's so impressive you watched four Indiana Jones movies in one day. And I'm like, that's my secret, Lee Tran Lam. It's not. It's sadly, no, it is. Because Will, also former Hey Fam guest, maybe, but definitely friend of the show, he did all the visual effects.
He didn't do all of it. He did all of them?
No, we did the last sequence.
Okay, because I'm about to say something mean about something I saw, and I'm just going to say...
Is it about the opening of the movie?
He didn't do that.
No, he didn't do that.
Yeah, okay, cool. Oh, that was me hoping that he didn't do that.
No, he did the end sequence.
Okay.
We're going to spoilers soon-ish, we'll warn you, but he gets into the third act.
It's going to be a big spoiler for me.
If you know what I'm talking about.
So I get to, like, you know, I'm spending time with Tilly. I go, B, like... I've done 2 days of not being able to do my work because Tilly's been with me.
I'm seeing a movie.
I want to see a movie. Can you take tomorrow off work and have a day with Tilly? I'll have Thursday and Friday with her.
Yeah.
And
he said, "B, in this situation, I'm Indiana Jones. In this situation, Tilly is Mutt Williams, and you're Marion, and I need you to."
And
be
the movies are the vines that I need to swing.
That's right. And the monkey is the seat at the cinema, which I am learning from.
But anyway, I guess I don't know the whole when you're just reading like all the news from Hollywood at the moment, it sucks so hard.
Dude, more like Holly weird if you catch.
It's Holly not weird enough for me.
Yeah, Holly, wouldn't it be nice if things were a little crazier?
It is cool having this horizon of Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer and Barbie for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I feel like all the writer's strike news, like there's none of the studios are acting on it in a meaningful way yet.
No, I've said this like analogy for a lot of things before when we've spoken about like decisions or things, but this rings so true at the moment. This era is a firm reminder that as much as films are art, they are an absolute industry and a business. And right now we're being like so reminded of that because of the strike, because of...
Honestly, man, everything needs to fucking crash and burn so we can start anew.
100%. And we need one producer... Tom Cruise, he needs to make the movies. First film of the new era of film. The second, I mean, the other thing is like, it is still pretty amazing. I find that the film industry is still around. It is 100 years old now. Like, think of how many music formats there have been. Think of like, it is insane that this like...
There's been film formats.
There's been film formats, but I mean like...
.mov, .mp4.
Real media.
Oh, yeah,
but I mean
RT,
like,
it's
pretty insane that there is still the amount of money that is made. The amount of money that is spent on this industry of films with like sound. That's fucking crazy.
It's honestly like, it's actually bad for the world that a movie ever made $1 billion. And I know like it rules that James Cameron makes crazy movies.
You're in a house of Big Jim right now.
I know. It rocks that some movies make lots of money, but I do think at the end of the day, it sucks so hard that they do, because then suddenly all this money is chucked at blockbusters that isn't spent well, and then like they just become this like product,
homogenous product,
and it's so... And I've just felt that in a way that it makes me feel dumb for like definitely being aware of it over the last few years, but I just like, I can't do it to myself anymore.
I don't think you should feel dumb. I think you enjoyed it, knowing it's like you know, you had McDonald's once a week, think of it that way, as a treat. And that was fine. And you're like, yeah, it's not my real food. It's just because there's so many other restaurants.
This is the closest thing to an insult you've given McDonald's in your life.
Yeah, but it's also like food that I haven't even been McDonald's for like 2 months or something. Yeah. Like, I like the brand, as I always said. Yeah. The food, it's whatever. It's fine. It is good, but I don't eat it that often.
Happy birthday, Grimace, though.
Happy birthday. But it's like saying, yeah, you know what? I'm going to have McDonald's once a fortnight. And that's okay because there are other places and other food I will eat in those other 13 days. But then over time... all those places get bought by McDonald's.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, the thing I liked and knew was kind of like not great and kind of dumb, but tasted so good and was quick and easy. It's everything now. And I kind of want something that feels real or something that makes me feel different.
I need Asteroid City to be out already. That's for sure.
But you know what's interesting? Before you even like this book I'm reading, which I know we laughed about me reading, the good thing about movies is, well, they're movies for starters. No, but every era of filmmaking is a response to what came before it. It's like the 70s was so exciting with like Scorsese, Lucas, Spielberg, everything, because it was a response to like the Hollywood system before, where it was like producers and studios were the things in charge. And that's kind of how it feels again at the moment, where for some reason, everyday people know what IP Warner Brothers or Disney owns. It's like real inside baseball stuff. Yep. And because that was like such an old world method of like making films in the 60s and the 70s, and people knew like which actor had signed a, you know, back then like actors worked for a studio, and like so you had like someone like a Leonardo DiCaprio would have worked with one studio for 20 years, like they'd sign a bizarre contract, and so that was almost their IP in a way. But because it was like so antiquated by the time these younger guys got in, all the films of the, well, not all the films, but that great wave of like new Hollywood, which starts with like the late 60s and ends with like probably Jaws or something, is like these young guys making movies as a complete response to that, in that it was the opposite and like different and like edgy. And I'm not saying we're going to get different and edgy, but I'm saying like this shitty era that we're in at the moment, I'm really with you and thinking it could crumble and we'll just usher in hopefully an era of new stuff, but I'm not hopeful because the stuff the content, and that sucks that I'm calling it content, but it would wind up on streaming.
Yeah.
Because now the movies is like, as Martin Scorsese said and was mocked by many Marvel fan, movies are essentially rides now. They cost so much money. They've cost about as much money as going to a theme park.
Yep.
They cost money to watch. They cost money to make. They are essentially rides, big, big, big films. And that's fine. I think a lot of I love movies like that, but I also like other movies, and I like that they can complement one another, or you can have something highbrow and you can have something lowbrow. I think that's the best thing. But when everything's highbrow, it's not fun. And when everything's lowbrow, it's also not fun.
But the lowbrow shit now takes itself so seriously, and so much of the world takes it seriously too.
Like Fast 10, perfect example.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but so for me, like, I just like, I don't know, like the news coming out of like, you know, like Warner is like announcing who's playing Superman next. And I'm like, I don't want more superhero movies. I want you to have the worst year of your lives and then go, we're not going to make movies for a long while now unless...
And that never happened.
I know it will never happen. But I just like, I don't want them... They shouldn't be allowed to have another chance to make superhero movies.
I want to wake up out of the coma, watch Black Adam and go, fantastic, Henry Cavill's back. This is going to be so exciting. And then I don't want to go on Twitter and see the news they've cast some fucking teenagers as Lois and Clark.
And it's like weak as shit. Like Disney are pushing forward with Deadpool 3, even though it isn't finished being written yet. And like, I don't know what's going to, like, why are they doing that? It's like,
I mean, the funniest thing about that is you've got speaking of Riff Kings, you've got the Riff King himself there who won't be, have you ever heard
about this? Can't do improv because he's in the WGA, which also like, I wish like he could just be like, I am Deadpool. We're not fucking making this movie until.
No, because he's not.
Yeah. He's rich enough.
Absolutely.
He's in the most watched movie of all time.
Probably the second richest Canadian of all time after Drake.
And then like...
And those numbers are based on nothing.
Venom 3's starting filming soon, even though they haven't got a finished script either.
I mean, like, that's awesome for us. Like, how funny is that?
It's super funny.
But how good is it? They're like, we ain't got a script. We're shooting Venom 3. Let's get that lady again from the Spider-Man movie in the convenience store. I mean, the good thing with shooting Venom 3, as we know, Venom 1 and Venom 2 had four sets between the two of them. There's Eddie's apartment, nondescript looking science lab, five. There's the seafood restaurant with the lobsters.
I
love the Venom movies.
Yeah, I love that. That first one is so, so special.
Did you and I see it together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've watched way too many superhero movies, way too many like weird legacy member berry shit.
There's been 55, I was reading, comic book movies, cinematically released in like a decade,
and we've seen 45 of them, I reckon. And
I reckon we've seen like 52 of them.
What did we see? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I used to only watch comedies, and it ruled. I would see.
We don't make them anymore. Well, they do now, starting with No Hard Feelings. And they do make them, as we said last week.
So it's funny you should mention that movie, because I was hearing great things about it, and like it's by the guy who directed Good Boys. I really liked Good Boys.
I hear it's very different to Good. It's a fine movie,
and I'm hearing that like it's doing better than it was projected to, and everyone's like, all right, go R-rated comedy. Mm. Good for you, Jennifer Lawrence, like, you know, getting out of like all the big franchises, having a kid, and then coming back to Hollywood in a R-rated comedy. That's mm-hmm. such a weird curveball.
That like really that compliments no one saw. Her as an actor. Yeah, like, yeah. She's always been like goofy.
And so I'm like, I don't want to watch Indiana Jones. I'm going to go to the movie. I got C&B, see a Tilly, going to the movies to see Indiana Jones. And then I'm like, I don't want to give money to them at the very least. And so funnily enough, No Hard Feelings showing 10 minutes after Indiana Jones starts. I'll buy a ticket to No Hard Feelings, go watch Indiana Jones. I get in the cinema and Indiana Jones's fucking de-aged Harrison Ford face is in it. It looks like a fucking PS3 Uncharted 3 cutscene. And I just go, I can't do this to myself. And I got up out of that cinema and I watched No Hard Feelings instead.
You didn't watch Indiana Jones?
Fucking, I'm sorry to my friends that worked wow. on it. I just couldn't do it. I'm done, man.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, and it's, Indiana and Jones. It's not about this movie in particular. Mm. It's just about the state of like what Disney have done to my fucking brain. Understand. And I feel like people listen to our podcast as like, should I see this blockbuster? And this podcast has many things, but I refuse for it to be useful.
And oh, it's never been useful. So it's just us chatting.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I don't want. I don't. That's.
Well, I was hoping you'd tell me what happened in it, because remember, I could only hear half of it.
What happened in it is like a really lifeless-looking Indiana Jones rode a fake-looking motorbike in front of a very like PS2 fog. Enhanced.
How dark was that opening scene?
It looked like,
I mean, I know why it's dark as well.
I just couldn't do it, man. I just could not do it. Like, and like, yeah. And so I watched No Hard Feelings and had a great time.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So you've seen it?
I saw it last week.
That's sick. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a preview. Didn't I tell you I saw Didn't we talk about it on the pod last week?
I don't think so.
I think we're talking about it.
No, I was like, what movies did you see? And you were like, can we talk about The Flash, please?
No, at your house. I swear I said I saw it in No Hard Feelings.
Yeah, right. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, no, I saw it like last Tuesday.
Yeah, it's like, it's totally good. Like, it's like...
It reminded me, I think I even said in a review I read, I was like, 2008 called it once, it's Judd Apatow adjacent film back. Like,
maybe,
it's a movie that I...
Maybe last week, yeah.
It's a movie I'd put like, and I this is a good thing, I'd put it in like the You Mean Dupree Along Came Polly class. Like, I don't think it's as good as like an Apatow.
Bad. Yeah, yeah.
I still think, and I was having this huge discussion with a few people this week, of the romantic comedies that I love so much. I still think Forgetting Sarah Marshall is the fucking blueprint for romantic comedies.
This reminded me a lot of that.
Reminded me of that in the sense where like it had like, it was kind of a postmodern rom-com where like there is this third act that a lot of early ones don't get to, or maybe a second act, or maybe a third act, and there's fourth acts in these that like early ones don't subscribe to, where it kind of humanizes a lot of, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think No Hard Feelings is fantastic fun. I think it's really good to see in a full cinema. I think she's like, it's probably the best I've seen Jennifer Lawrence.
So here's the wildest thing, right? That movie came out last Thursday.
Yeah.
showing same time as the day Indiana Jones comes out. About 40 people in my cinema at a 2 p.m. showing for No Hard Feelings. There were 2 people in the Indiana Jones screen.
Damn.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
I don't know, man. I just feel like more and more like, you know what else? It also felt like because it's a similar relationship vibe to Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, it's like
older woman, younger guy.
Hot chick wants to fuck a little virgin. Well, kind of.
Has to fuck. No, who knows?
Sadly, no Bradley Cooper in No Hard Feelings.
No, yeah.
Man, I had a ball. I think it's, I love seeing, I forget his name, but the actor from Righteous Gemstone season 1. And he's also in Halloween, the second Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like, he's like,
it's like Kenny Powers adjacent.
Or like, what if TJ Miller wasn't annoying?
Yeah, what if TJ Miller hadn't like set a bomb
Scotty
off on
from
the
Righteous Gemstones season 1, yeah.
It's
fucking Richie also, from The Bear, isn't it?
Also, it was really funny. I saw the movie Past Lives, and Montauk is featured in it.
Oh, no way.
As well
right.
as, and in Past Lives, they're like, oh, you know Montauk, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Like, that's where it's set.
Oh, shit.
Remember the big line?
That.
Remember,
yeah, right.
Meet Me in Montauk? Do you remember, like, that
yeah,
big?
Yeah.
And so it was funny. I've been watching a lot of media lately where it's set at Long Island, Montauk.
Crazy. Well, look, I want to talk about No Hard Feelings, R-rated comedies. Yeah. We can do a little bit of Indiana Jones talk too.
Yeah, well, you know.
Maybe I'll see it. I just could not do it today.
Completely understandable. Yeah. I'm going to see it, I reckon, Sunday. I want to see it with a full cinema just like at a multiplex.
The DH shit is so weak.
It's not great, but you know what?
Especially when he still sounds like an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame River Phoenix is dead.
I say that every day.
Yeah.
But also, we already have, like, you know, we've watched an entire movie with a different actor playing a younger Harrison Ford.
First thing I said to my dad, I was like, they should have got Alden.
Like, legit. Like,
it'd be great if he signed on for the rest of his life just to only shadow Harrison Ford.
It's going to be the Fugitive sequel.
And they're like, yeah, the only movies Harrison Ford makes now are just flashback scenes. Harrison Ford bookends it. He's like, man, that's like the time I blah, blah. Yeah. And then it's everything set in the 90s for some reason, or like in the 80s.
You think that's clear in Present Danger? Yeah. How about the time I...
Well, you all know about the time I was on Air Force One, but did you ever hear about the time I was on Air Force Two? When I was vice president, yeah. And it's like him younger.
That's great.
Yeah, damn. Harrison, Alden, man, Alden really fucking took the fall for some reason for that movie failing.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault.
It was fantastic. And I think he had like such a hard task being like what I think is still Harrison Ford's most iconic role. Don't tell Harrison Ford that, because he loves Indiana Jones more than Han Solo.
Yeah, my dad loves Indiana Jones, so I think I've always seen Harrison Ford as more of an indie. But
it's interesting. Someone once said to me, or I think I read, they're like, "Who do you see when you close your eyes when you think of Harrison Ford?" And people first thing that comes to mind is Han Solo or Indiana Jones. Normally,
I mean, Anchorman. I want to
get that Mosquito Coast. But you know what's funny? I was hoping you could... Well, when you do see it, I'd love to break down with you a new trilogy of films that I think we should do a screening somewhere. As you know, I have a relationship with the Golden Age in Sydney. I want to do the Lego sequel Harrison Ford trilogy with Blade Runner, Force Awakens, and Dial of Destiny. And just, I want us all to break down...
Yeah.
How Harrison Ford might be the only character actor I know who's done it three times.
That's wild.
A lot of people have done one.
Yep.
Some have done too. I don't think, and these are all like the movies that define him.
It's because
him.
He has so many iconic characters. Well, three.
Yeah, three truly he iconic kind of has characters. Three iconic characters, which kind of, the three pillars of like fandom.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got your like hard sci-fi, cyberpunk. You've got your like, you know, the most like present fan base in the world, and then you've got like Indiana Jones. Hopefully we can chat more about indies soon another time, because I'm so curious. Like,
we can, I mean, chat broadly about it.
Let's chat broadly, because yeah. I've watched so much indie recently. But I've always loved Indiana Jones. But to me, I've always like, I'm like, what's an Indiana Jones fan look like? And you've answered it. It's your dad.
But he's not going to see this new one.
No, but I mean, like, I Indiana Jones is such
Crystal
a
skull. Like,
it's such a funny.
I don't know anyone that like actually like grew up with those movies, like as in like when they were coming out, like loved. He always loved like those first three.
Yeah,
and then I don't like that's enough.
Yeah,
like for a series that
perfect trilogy is a very hard thing.
But
to
like,
get.
Yeah, like 70s and 80s. Like besides the fucking Star Wars,
I'm so
like,
glad I didn't tell you what happened in the third act.
I think I know what happened, because I popped my head in after No Hard Feelings, and they said that. I was like, oh, if I do see this, if I keep watching this now, I'll be like, I think I know what is happening, and it's, you know, because
we'll confirm it off Mike.
The fourth one's all about all about aliens, and I think this is another sci-fi trope at the end of this one.
Kind of, but like in the Indiana Jones way, it's done via a
Dial of Destiny.
Like an ancient tool.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm actually shooting another Dr. Carl video tomorrow with Indiana Jones.
Oh, fun.
Him breaking down the science of like 2,000-year-old booby traps and nuking the fridge and stuff.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. Perfect. Anyway, come and listen to us talk R-rated comedies. We're talking
I've been thinking a lot about R-rated comedies recently, man. So this is great.
And also No Hard Feelings in general. There were some great moments in that.
How good's the kid, like the lead?
Oh, and I've got a great fucking tidbit. One of the main things fueling that as well. He's awesome, and I'll tell you why in PayFam tonight. Patreon.com/HeyFam.
Did you love the anime he had in his room, or the manga?
And the t-shirt?
Yeah.
And she's like, nice cartoon. He goes, oh, it's anime. She goes, yeah, that's what I said.
Animated. She was great, man.
Dude,
she's
fucking hilarious.
So good in it. Yeah. I'm so glad you liked it.
Especially after, like, her character was so crap in Don't Look Up.
So I haven't seen that still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I think with Netflix movies, I honestly just miss them, because like I don't ever open Netflix unless a new season of Selling Sunset's out, or I think you should leave.
Yeah. Honestly, dude, I watched it again this week.
Man, I went down for my dad's birthday. I forgot to watch somewhere.
I've watched the third season of I Think You Should Leave four times now.
Sick. And I mean, that's like the length of a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Essentially. I guess I can't get enough of that season.
It rules. It's great.
The fucking No Rules one with Biff Whiff or whatever, the the guy who, you know, it's like the shirt brother, you gotta amazing. Help me shirt brother with the turnstile
we're shirt brothers.
Yes. I had that on loop. I had to stop watching Secret Invasion last week because I was like, I want to watch that shirt brothers sketch again.
I'm gonna,
and it was so much better than watching any other member of Secret Invasion.
A movie against your will again, but this time fire up your iPhone and watch. I think you should leave while sitting
that's
in
a
there.
Great idea. The thing is, you could watch, I think you could watch all three seasons of I Think You Should Leave
before the movie starts,
before Indiana Jones,
I think the before it starts, just, yeah, just yeah. after all the pre-show.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, come listen to PayFam. It's the best shit in the fucking world. It happens every single week and you get access to it by heading to patreon.com/heyfam, giving us your $5 a month. That gets you an extra hour of PayFam.
It's fucking psycho.
Every single week. Plus you get a Discord community where you can sound off in the comments every single week, every single day, every single second. So come and join us there and we'll see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.